Next Generation Health and Wellness, a better way to age. Brought to you by Southern Plus. For more info, call our 24/7 advice line on 1300 000 161 or visit southernplus.org.au.
Chinese New Year begins today. This year is the last in the 12-year cycle of the Chinese zodiac, which makes it the Year of the Pig. Festivities are going to see the largest movement of people over a fortnight than any other time in history. There'll be over 200 million Chinese city dwellers returning to their hometowns and villages in rural China. Here in Australia, it's estimated over 250,000 Chinese will be hosted as tourists in February. Bill Lang's been travelling to China and working with Chinese businesses and students for over 18 years and joins us on the program. Bill, by the way, is the Australia-China business relations expert and also is chairman of the Institute of Advanced Business. Hi, Bill.
Oh, good day, Chris. Thanks for the opportunity to have a chat to you and your listeners.
Yeah, the Year of the Pig. What does it mean to the Chinese? Is there anything significant in the pig as an animal and what it means in the Chinese zodiac?
Yeah, look, the history, or as the myth goes, is that the Jade Emperor invited the animals to come and meet with him. And the first 12 to arrive, they would be actually laid out in terms of the 12 different years. And the 12th one to arrive was the pig. And the people that are born in the Year of the Pig are seen as being a little bit like the pig, a little bit lazy, sometimes a little bit too easily fooled, but also to be very sort of optimistic and, you know, independent and good friends.
Okay, so it was all about, and was the zodiac based on which animals arrived first, according to this fable?
That's exactly right. And the first to arrive was actually the rat. So next year will be the Year of the Rat. So it'll go back into the sort of 12-year cycle. But that's what the story is told in terms of how the Jade Emperor worked it all out.
Okay. Now, what's the significance in this to the Chinese? For example, we have star signs that we know of in our own. I don't know whether you'd call it calendar. Well, perhaps you would call it calendar. Some people, of course, put great stock in their star sign. Other people think it's a whole pile of cobblers. Am I correct in assuming that it's pretty much the same in Chinese culture as well? Some people adhere to it and they take it quite seriously, whereas others sort of dismiss it as being superstitious nonsense?
Oh, no, look, I think you'd find the majority of Chinese people take it very seriously. China, with now 1.4 billion people, has the longest recorded history of any area of the world, 5,000 years. And, this was developed, thousands of years ago and is believed by, I would say most of those 1.4 billion people. So they'll often, when they meet you, want to know sort of what year you were born in to know what your actual Chinese zodiac sign is. And of course, it's based on year, whereas here we're based on which month you were born in. So it's a very complex system and very much believed in. There's a lot of superstitions and beliefs around lucky numbers and unlucky numbers depending on your Chinese zodiac sign, etc. So very, very important, Chris.
If you had a zodiac sign that some Chinese person was a bit suspicious of, is it then fair to suggest they might be reluctant to do business with you?
No, look, not at all, because they would look at it based on what your particular animal is and then what their own animal is. And so there are, certain beliefs they would have around, which particular animals are more compatible with others. So, for example, we're in the Year of the Pig now. There's a belief that, people from that sign are probably more compatible with people, born under the signs of the tiger, the rabbit or the sheep. And if anything, they should avoid those born under the signs of the snake or the monkey. So it really depends on the Chinese person you're dealing with and, of course, which animal they are and which animal you are.
How has Chinese attitudes to their zodiac, how have they developed over the years and what sort of influence did they have on the way the Chinese developed their economy?
Look, it's a very complicated area, and I certainly wouldn't claim to be a historian with the expertise in that. But what I do know from my many years of travelling and working with Chinese people is that these things are sort of well understood by the Chinese and taken into account. I was only in a meeting today with a Chinese business partner who happens to also have been born in the Year of the Rabbit, which is the year of my zodiac. So from his perspective, that was a very good sign. And in terms of the way we interact with each other, he had particular observations based on the fact that we were both rabbits.
It's an incredible story, isn't it? Because you talk about people returning to their place of birth in China that we see the greatest movement of people than at any other time in history. And of course, that's helped by the fact that there are so many Chinese. Just how important is it for people to return to their roots as part of this New Year celebration?
Look, it's again a key part of the belief of many Chinese people. So they, they believe that their ancestors are looking over them. Their culture is very oriented around seniority in terms of filial relationships between grandfathers and fathers and sons. Last night on Chinese New Year Eve, there would have been a great dinner. All the members of the family would have been seated in a particular circle around the table. Ideally, there would have been some fabulous fresh fish available, which will bring great fortune to the new year. And in many families, the patriarch, so perhaps the great-great-grandfather, as the evening wore on, would review the year and the level of importance of different things that had happened for everyone in the family during that year, and then would lay out the expectations for the family members in the year ahead. And then a long tradition is the handing over of what are called the red envelopes. And, the more senior people in the family will provide, great gifts in the form of money in the red envelopes that get handed around. And, if you've got an elder brother to a younger brother, the elder brother would also provide you, you with a red envelope. So it really pays on Chinese New Year to be the youngest person around the table. And to be single, and that person would have ended up with many, many red envelopes and lots of wine in their pockets.
It's interesting you talk about the expectations, because something that really sticks out, look, to be honest, it sticks out among the Asian community as a collective, but also I think specifically to the Chinese community. We often see it in the exceptional results when we look at the school results for a year. Names of Chinese origin, or indeed Asian origin, are often arguably overrepresented in those figures, because we have this belief that Chinese communities, in fact Asian communities generally, place an expectation on people, including their children, to achieve scholastically, and to fail to achieve is to bring shame upon the family. Is that part of the reason you think that when we look at the Chinese community, for example, and say, let's look at the Chinese students, they are extremely high achievers. Does a lot of that stem from these kind of family gatherings that we're talking about now, where the expectations are told? Like, for example, you might have a child who's just entered year 12 and the family said, well, we expect that you're going to get a really good ATAR result.
Yes, look, it's a very important thing, as I think across the world in cultures, that, parents, hope and aspire for their children to have a better quality life than what they themselves have had. And, China, a country, thousands of years old, that has been in the past incredibly poor, the expectation for the child, and then we think about the one-child policy that had been in place for a number of decades, the future of the family and the future of being looked after by the younger person.
Centred around that person. One child, yes.
Absolutely. There was no welfare system unlike what we say have here in Australia. So you couldn't expect that the government would be doing it. It would be the person that you brought into the world. And education and educational attainment is seen as the major path. And, for many years in China, the grades that you received would determine, in fact, what university you might go to or what job you would get. So in terms of being able to move into a profession or into a well-paying and secure job, it was absolutely critical. So there's a lot of alignment between the expectations culturally, the requirements, parents in terms of their future welfare, and therefore significant hope, money and resources is invested in the child succeeding with their educational pursuits.
Am I correct in assuming, Bill, that a lot of the cultural expectations and the way that people culturally live their lives, those of Chinese origin, even though we live in these modern times, a lot of the basic fundamental foundations haven't changed for literally centuries?
I certainly believe, that is the case based on what my, good and long-standing Chinese friends share with me around the traditions within their families. And this Chinese New Year and the Lunar New Year is absolutely critical. So if you think about, what Christmas means for Christians,
yep,
with New Year's Eve and Australia Day, long weekend for Australians, Thanksgiving for Americans in the USA.
Yep.
Chinese New Year is like all of those celebrations all rolled into one.
That makes a lot of sense. Any interesting fun little things that happen in the Year of the Pig? I kind of figure that each year brings with it something that is unique, and obviously it only comes around once every 12 years. Do we have any that stand out for the Year of the Pig?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question, and one thing I think that it's useful to know is that the year of your birth year from a Chinese zodiac point of view is usually a reasonably unlucky year. The reason for that is that, you know, when you first go through it, you know, you're the age 12, and then you're the age 24, then you're the age 36. And if you think about life transitions, you know, from being a child to an adolescent, at 12, at the age of 24, you may well have been a parent for the first time, or, you know, in a marital relationship. Then you move on to 36. So an interesting thing that cuts across not just the Year of the Pig, but for pigs in the zodiac. Now, this is always a year that is, you know, treated with some trepidation by people that have, you know, that are pigs, in terms of generally speaking, they're likely to be dealing with, you know, significant life events and challenges.
Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure having a conversation with you, and thank you for giving us a little bit of an insight into the Chinese New Year and the significance of it to our friends in the Chinese community. Bill Lang, thank you very much.
Yeah, look, thanks for the opportunity, Chris, and look forward to talking to you again.
Bill Lang, by the way, is Australia-China business relations expert and also chairman of the Institute of Advanced Business.